Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast, your weekly dose of knife news and information about knives and knife collecting. Here's your host, Bob the Knife Junkie DeMarco.
Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast. I'm Bob DeMarco. Coming up, we're going to take a look at some new Topps knives for 2022. I get in hand the Tempest Mach 51. I'm very excited about that. And then we're going to talk about Firmly in Hand. And we're going to talk about some common grip texturing. And I'll get into the specifics and the stipulations when we get there. But it might not be exactly what you're expecting. Before we get to any of that, and before we even get to the pocket check, I just have to say, I'm looking at this. This thing is staring at me in the face. And it's a shameful, shameful moment from this past week. I had to go to Walmart for actual things for the house. And of course, I go by the knife section. And I'm shocked and appalled at how they have wended down their selection to, like, I don't know, five or six at this particular one. And they're haphazardly strewn, stuck in little Lucite boxes in a giant cabinet. It's like you can barely see them. They don't want to sell them. They don't care. You always have to, like, corral someone to open up the cabinet to get one for you. So they're not interested in selling knives anymore. Even their Ozark Trail line, which, you know, used to be all over the place. You turn around, there'd be a cheap pocket knife in your face. Even that has been reduced. Well, anyway, I was there. I was lurking, you know, lurking. And this is what I found. I found a $3 fillet knife, Ozark Trail. I haven't even taken it out of the package, but I was compelled to buy it. So I was like, oh, Steve at work. He likes fishing. I've already given him like 60. I've given him a bunch of knives already, but he hasn't expressed a need for a fillet knife, but I got him one anyway. So this is the kind of thing. This is why I call myself Knife Junkie, because it's not just the cool, high quality knives I'm after. It's like, oh my gosh, that's made of steel and, you know, approximates an edge. I must spend my money on it. Okay. So now that I have that out, it's like a therapy session. Hopefully you won't charge me anything. Let's move on. All right. Pocket check for today. Today I'm carrying something that I've been carrying all week long since I got it. I'm surprised I like it as much as I do, but I was very much looking forward to getting it, especially after Jared Neve, Mike Emler, and a couple of other people showed it off and talked about what a great knife it is. And that is the Tucson TS-301 D2. Okay, the D2, of course, stands for the steel. This used to be a 14C28N bladed production. They've changed to D2. Apparently, they're catching on to the fact that they make these exquisite knives with really high-end materials oftentimes, and we're charging too little. I think they're bringing everything down to a kind of a standard level. I think they've changed the titanium they use, and on a lot of models have changed the steel to D2. For me, that's not an issue at all. This knife was compelling to me initially because I had a chance to experience four Tucson knives, and they were all really well built, just not my taste. Like, lots of carbon fiber, lots of intricate milling, which I appreciate that they can do. It just wasn't my thing. And then I saw this one in particular, and recognizing and remembering the high quality of those knives that just weren't to my taste, this one is, with that ochre-colored, you know, natural canvas micarta butting up next to this really nice carbon fiber. I am coming around to carbon fiber now that you're rarely seeing that regular weave stuff and you're seeing much more expressive carbon fiber and naturalistic looking carbon fiber. I'm liking it. So this carbon fiber bolster, seamless. I mean, you cannot feel the transition between that and the micarta. It's shadow boxed by the titanium frame. It is not inset. It is sitting on top of that frame, but contoured nonetheless. So a very, very comfortable knife. To hold this backspacer is nice. It's a gear pattern backspacer. The fat of my thumb can really sink into that if I'm holding it in reverse grip for some reason. Really nice blade shape. It's very broad. It's an upswept clip point, and it's an inch and a half tall from the peak, you know, the crest of this thumb ramp to the flat part of the edge. That's a pretty broad blade, and the grind is over an inch tall. It's flat ground, over an inch tall. Not very, I'm sorry, I'm not even going to estimate the thickness. It's not very thick blade stock, though. And it tapers to a super fine edge. This thing is classy looking. and an incredible cutter. It is a really, really good cutter. But it's also fun to fidget with. It's got fantastic bearing action that you see me miss a couple of times there. But that's just because I'm holding it lefty. Who does not love an excellent, smooth bearing pivot knife with thumb studs? And the thumb studs, oh boy, thumb studs all day long. And they are the blade stop. Even though there's that pin there, that is not the stop pin when it's open. The thumb studs hang way proud of the handle, which makes it great for just pulling out of your pocket and deploying quickly with a thumb flick or a spidey flick. But the problem is that, like on some of the larger cold steels, you can actually cam the blade open like a wave using these giant thumb studs. And it happened to me once accidentally, and the result was that painful little puncture wound there. This tip is very acute. It's very sharp, and it went in like nothing, and it hit like a major major artery in my finger, and it gushed all over the place. So this blade is mine. It will never leave the collection. It has tasted my blood, or whatever justification I need to keep more knives. So I really like this Tucson Knives knife. I'm not expecting to get many of them. Most of their designs don't appeal to me, but I appreciate the quality. I'm interested in having this in the collection. But here's the thing. When you order one, say from Amazon, it's coming straight, I guess, from the factory in China, because it took an agonizing like 17 days. It was like on the slow boat. No, actually, it almost took a month. It was right before Christmas, and I got it right at the end of January. Anyway, so if you can stand the wait, and it was kind of fun, actually, because I'm used to immediate gratification. This was like waiting for my decoder ring to come. So what else was I carrying today? I know you're interested. Next up was the Ron Steele Jr. Knives. Ron Steele Design Prime. I love this knife. This is one that I had custom made by Mr. Ron Steele. We've had him on the show. He's a great guy. And his knife making is just going through the roof if you watch him on Instagram. He's capable of some amazing things with very little time under his belt. This is 01 Tool Steel Prime. This is his original model, but originally it's just a single-edged drop point. I love the drop point shape of this knife, but I really wanted a double-edged version. I think it was screaming for it. He never made one before, figured it out, and did a really good job on this knife. And used an interesting etching technique, and it brought out some of the 01 Tool Steel characteristics here. Kind of an interesting texture there, and a nice deep acid etch. I am very, very fond of this knife. I remember talking about the handle, ordering the handle with him. He texted me while I was walking around like a 28 days later zombie at Blade Show. That means running around, but in a lather. At the show, and he's like, "What kind of handle do you want on your Prime?" And I said, Maroon Micarta. And he offered to do something a little extra, and he put in these cool stripes. And these happen to be my high school colors, the black, the gray, and the maroon. Not that that's what I was going for, but I've always loved black and maroon together. So there you go. That was my fixed blade. Look, about the same size as that TS-301. D2, if you, I say look, but if you're listening, you can't. But take my word for it. Last up, this is sort of the sensible thing today, and that is the Spyderco Delica. This is the Warncliffe Serrated Delica. This was a gift from our good friend up north, Stone and Steel. Stu gave me this. He carries this on duty. Actually, he carries a large serrated, Warncliffe Endura on duty in his back pocket. He is a sheriff's deputy and wanted to give me that or gift me that or the Delica. I chose the Delica because I knew at this 3-inch size, I was more likely to carry the Delica in this size. I had it for a while with the black GRN handle. Very, very nice handle. We're going to talk about that later, actually. But I wanted to make this knife even, I don't know, more special. It was a gift from a great guy. So I got these titanium scales. I think they're made in the same factory where they make Rough Riders. Now, that's based on absolutely no information at all. It's just that these are offered up by Smoky Mountain Knife Works, and I just had that thought. Maybe they just use the same place, you know. But the scales are really excellent. They're beautifully contoured. They fit. I don't know about you, but I don't like taking apart Spyderco's at all in general. And this one isn't so bad, but all the pieces fit. There's one piece in the Delica that is just a serious PIA, and they had all of their things lined up, all their holes, so it worked perfectly. And it gives this knife a very substantial feel. I do love the GRN of this family here, this Spyderco family. But on this knife, for some reason, I wanted a heavier feel in hand. And boy, I got it with that titanium. So very nice. This is my carry for today. Extravagant overkill. Haven't used anything yet. Except, really not any of these. I've used a different knife for something else. So, but this is what it's all about. If I need any of these, I have them on me. All right. So let me know what you were carrying today. It is of interest to me. And, I want to know, I like keeping up with what people are carrying, because it also helps me, find new and interesting knives. That's how I found, all of these, actually. I mean, I knew about the, Delica, but these two were people just kind of letting me know. And I am not a maven in anything. I've never been, you know, that person who knows all the cool new music or the cool new knives. But I like to know people who do know that stuff so they can suggest the cool stuff. So let me know what you were carrying. In doing so, it will gratify me and give me ideas for new knives. All right, if you think what we do here is worth it, please go check us out on Patreon. We have three levels of support there, and you get interview extras, and you can get entered into a monthly knife drawing, which is always fun. That's the third Thursday on Thursday Night Knives, by the way, when we do that. So you can find that all by going to theknifejunkie.com/Patreon. Again, that's theknifejunkie.com/Patreon.
You're listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast, and now here's the Knife Junkie with the Knife Life News.
In January and June, those are exciting times in the knife world, because that SHOT Show in January and Blade Show in June, and we get a lot of new product drops. And this year at SHOT Show, We Knife and Tops both came out with some pretty, pretty strong showings. But I'm going to start with We Knife. They are really, I would say, the signature of this year's We and Civivi catalog, at least what they've revealed so far, is collaboration heavy, which is always good to hear, because We Knife is one of the best manufacturers in the world. And then you find some of the best designers in the world. You put those together. And then the hoi polloi, like you and I, can, like you and me, can actually buy these designs, like a Snex. No way on earth could I ever own a custom Snex. You know, he takes a long time to engineer these flawless designs, sometimes even without hardware, without the use of screws, etc. And, you know, very exclusive, very, very small runs of knives. You have someone like We come out and offer the Snex design, like this one at the very top. I like this Alan Alishowitz. We'll get to that in a second, because that surely should grace my pockets. But right here, this Snex knife, the Vision R, it boasts a brand new lock, totally engineered by Snex himself, and, you know, labored over. I believe he's in Singapore. But labored over and oftentimes documented on Instagram. You get to see kind of what he's going through to come up with these designs. Beautiful labored over designs. And then we can step in at some point when the design is perfected and make a bunch of them so that we can carry them, and his design can reach a broader audience. I mean, who doesn't want that? There's something great about the exclusivity of having a custom. But if you just really like the design, and you want to have it without having to, you know, mortgage your soul, you know, We Knife is stepping in. I love that. Also, look at this thing. Very cool. If you're not looking at it, it's got a nice upswept Warncliffe blade opening hole. It's got some sort of a lock on the back strap that I believe you pull back on, similar to a shark lock, at least in looks as you pull it back. And then it's got one of those clips like the Graham knives on top of the on the spine of the blade, not on the clip sides. So interesting and cool looking, I gotta say. Next, Alan Alishowitz, a favorite of this show and one of my favorite designers and just a stalwart classic designer and maker, a really, really incredible custom maker out there who's got a huge background being a badass as a Marine recon, and martial artist and all this. So his designs are beautiful, but also based in the reality that it could possibly be need for defense or fighting. This is the press check. Beautiful, beautiful knife. It's a flipper, full titanium frame lock with a sort of faux bolster in the milling. And then if you look at the pommel, it's very well set up for a thumb capping. If you're holding it in reverse grip, perfect angles for the thumb to wrap around the pommel in reverse grip. And then it comes in a drop point recurve and a tanto recurve. Very cool. The saving grace of this knife is that I will not be obliged to buy it because it's out of my size wheelhouse. It's a 3.1 inch blade, but heaven help us if they come out with an XL press check, because I'll have to get it. So that's about. Wait, scroll down if you would, Jim. There's a button lock, malice, and then a couple of other in-house designs that are unnamed prototypes. This upswept Persian-y looking tanto is pretty cool. And then it's called the Curvaceous, and then a couple of unnamed prototypes. So cool stuff coming to us from Wee Knife and Civivi. This one is cool, the unnamed prototype. It's a full-framed Wee, full titanium frame with a 3.75 drop point. Kind of generic for Wee, but... And then they have a really weird self-defense implement. I say really weird. It's a double recurve tanto karambit fixed blade with a very odd run of serrations. This is one I got to see. The picture I have here of the Orthrus is just not... it's not doing the design justice. I'm sure it's cooler than what it looks like right here. So, there we have it. And another button lock in the Civivi. It's called Conspirator. All right, next up, Topps Knives. Very excited about the Topps Knives catalog this year. This is kind of a pattern we're seeing from them. I think they are realistic because they have a very, very large catalog already. They do not discontinue a lot of knives. They have a lot in their discontinued catalog, but they have a giant catalog of knives they actively make and supply to their dealers. And every year they just added 19. They brought 19 new knives to SHOT Show. Many of them, most of them, I think, prototypes. But that's what they're doing. They're showing off prototypes, gauging reaction, and then figuring out how to schedule release. Here, they have some really, really exciting ones. This first one, the Silent Hero 4, I'm very excited about it. It's a 3.4 inch version of the Silent Hero, which is originally a nearly 8 inch knife designed by a Anton Duplessis, who's an anti-poaching guy down in South Africa, saving the elephants from scumbags. Really great knife design in that original one, but a big knife. This one is a 6.5 inch. It's kind of down in that sub K-bar range, and looks like something you could definitely kind of stash and carry around much more easily. So very excited about that. And then there's one down called the R2K. This one is interesting, designed by a gentleman for his sons who were deployed. He wanted to make a fighting utility knife, basically, or a utility knife that could handle itself in a scrap. And you look at this R2K, and it is, I don't know, I think I may have drawn this knife 1,000 times in some sense, because it is a simple, perfect-looking Warncliffe on a simple, perfect-looking Moran-style single choil handle that is like almost 100% neutral. And it's got a great butt cap for not only capping with your thumb, but also using to focus energy right there at that point. Just a really cool knife. Can't wait to get this. And no doubt at 1/4 inch thick, it was held in good stead by those gentlemen in the sandbox. Okay. So here we have the Papa Delta. This one is very interesting to me because I know it just from watching a couple of the SHOT Show videos that it was developed with a self-defense expert And they wanted to incorporate a ring, but I love the escape route out of this ring because rings are controversial, if you want to call it that. I mean, I've talked to different people who feel differently about the ring, about the effectiveness of it, about the safety of it. A lot of people say you can really jack up your finger in an engagement, in a dynamic engagement with an adversary if your finger is stuck in a metal ring. So I like that they gave you this escape route here. You get a lot of the power behind having your finger entrapped in there for downward energy, you know, when thrusting that blade. But if you have to pull it out the other way or it gets entangled and you need to disengage so you don't break your finger, I really like it. You're not going to be doing any fancy flipping, but the fancy flipping is mostly just to be fancy. So really interested in this Papa Delta. It's a little tiny daggery, double-edged dagger thing. And then let's see. The last one I want to look at is this one, the Woodcraft. So this is a beautiful looking knife. I look at it and I think, wow, it's like a little pirate knife. And then they call it the Woodcraft. And I realize, and then I found this out by doing a little reading elsewhere also, that this is based on the classic Marbles outdoor knife, the Marbles Woodcraft knife. And I have one here. This was my grandfather's, Marbles pattern woodcraft knife, though this one was not manufactured by this was by Cutco, but it's that pattern. That knife, the new Topps knife, is based on this old Woodcraft pattern, and I think it's really exciting. I love the interpretation of it. It's very modern, but you can see where they were going with that continuous belly, which must be great for skinning, and that long clip on the top. And my grandfather gave this to me a long time ago. He said, you know, he skinned a few bear with this, 1937. But I always took that to mean that he killed the bear with this. And then later he explained, no, no, child. I merely skinned a bear that I shot with a rifle, you know. But to have that knife come out in a modern interpretation from one of my all-time favorite companies is exciting. And I know it'll be in 1095. It looks like it's powder coated there. And then it's got a faux bolster and butt cap with the two different micartas there, black in the center and tan on the end. Really, really, really beautiful. And actually, one more knife, Jim, if you would. It wasn't on my list. If you could scroll all the way down, I'll tell you when to stop. Not that weird thing. You can talk about that another time. There's a Gladius. Not that. Keep going. That right there. Okay, this dagger here. This is a Lacey Szabo design. And you don't hear much from Lacey Szabo because he's kind of an exclusive maker and designer. But he's been around for a while. He's a former special military, I believe, and a police officer in SWAT. And, you know, just one of these guys designing knives. And they're always very, very unique, beautiful, but also built for business because, you know, he's a knife fighting expert. And I have one of his. It's called the Topps Felony Stop. It's a tiny little pistol grip dagger that stashes away nicely. This is the first thing I've seen him come out on a production thing in quite a while, and I'm glad it's Topps making it. This is a non-symmetrical dagger. It's got a bit of a recurve on the primary edge, and then the full top edge is also sharpened. They're going to be shipping them unsharpened on top, but you can request the sharpened edge. It's just easier to sell in more places if you don't, by default, sharpen that top edge. I most likely will be getting this and will most definitely be getting it sharpened. And then here, their classic Steel Eagle, the knife that started Topps. They're coming out with a short version here. So very exciting stuff from Topps. And I'm really happy that people don't all wait for a Blade Show to talk about their new knives. It's nice to have this sort of exciting little drop at the beginning of the year because then you can start seeing. And Spyderco did an exciting drop just pre-SHOT Show. So it's a good time of year for, you know, knife enthusiasts who are looking for new stuff. Still to come on the Knife Junkie Podcast, we're going to take a look at the state of the collection. I have a really great one on loan and a couple back from modding and then a new knife. Firmly in hand after that. That's what I'm calling it. Firmly in hand. Common grip texture. I want to talk about grips. I talk about ergonomics, so I want to talk about the actual surface treatment that helps keep that blade in your hand. All of that and more coming up on the Knife Junkie Podcast.
The Get Upside app is your way to get cash back on your gas purchases. Get Upside is an app you put on your smartphone, and whenever you need to get gas, search your area for savings, claim your discount, fill up your tank, and then take a picture of the receipt with your phone. And that's it. You've just got cash back. Visit theknifejunkie.com/save on gas to get the app and start saving. Again, that's theknifejunkie.com/save on gas.
So here it is on loan. From KC, you know him as Knives Fast. This is his Tempest Knives Mach 51. This is a prototype of the knife that he designed. And as you can see, it's thematically, it's themed on high speed things. The Mustang, and then I think there's a bit of P-51 Mustang as well. The Mustang car, the Mustang, aeroplane, the Alpha fighter, what do they call that? Air supremacy fighter of World War II from the American side. You can see that in the blade design. So Casey had a couple of these made, and they have been doing the rounds. Oh, that sounds so cheap and tawdry. I don't mean it like that, but he has gotten it in the right hands, and then finally into my hands, which I definitely appreciate. This knife has been held and used and evaluated by some of our most trusted voices in knife YouTubery, and they have been praising it, and I have been looking at it thinking, that's interesting. I cannot wait to check it out for myself because that's interesting. And I think it's beautiful, but I wonder how the beauty will translate into ergonomics and into use. Well, I'm here to tell you people that if I didn't like it, I wouldn't feature it here. But also, it's really good. It feels amazing in hand. So, okay, let's start here with the ergonomics, and then we're going to talk about this amazing blade, which I finally actually just tested before we were rolling this podcast today, because I realized I had to talk about how it cuts, because that's what it's for, after all. But I had already determined that the action and the fit and finish and everything else about this knife, the design, is really, really excellent. Really wonderful ergonomics on this, especially up here in this choil position. Choked up here, your hand just naturally wants to go there, but it's also quite comfortable in this saber grip if you need reach for whatever reason. Say you're cutting a fig out of your fig tree and you just need that extra little reach like this. And you're going to hold it in a saber grip. Well, this is a very, very comfortable and sure grip, even though it tapers down at the pommel and is contoured beautifully. Contoured in cross section, it still is very sure in hand in this saber grip. Now, speaking of the grip and speaking of the scales, it has a gorgeous orange peel texture on the contoured grip. I mean, that combination is really sumptuous, and I don't use that word often or lightly, but it's curved really nicely contoured and curved, and then to have that almost, this is going to be creepy, skin-like texture here in that peel ply. I mean, not peel ply, in that orange peel texture. It's really awesome. It feels great. Maybe you can tell I haven't experienced much peel ply in my knife, orange peel finish in my collecting, but I really appreciate it, and this knife has made me, has stirred my interest in it, I definitely have to say. Okay, so ambidextrous, very practical ambidextrous wire clip. As we see in Spyderco's and other, mostly Spyderco's. The pivot, very interesting pivot. It looks like a wheel. It looks like a five-spoke wheel on a sports car, say a Mustang. And then the blade. The blade is M390. If I didn't mention, the handle is titanium. I did mention that, sorry. Blade M390, very, very nice. And the shape is outstanding. It looks like looks like it's going to evoke a machine, you know, with a canopy, and that might supersede the design of its geometry, but it doesn't. In other words, is this designer just going for a look and then cutting a secondary? I'm here to tell you that the answer is no. It's very, very thinly flat ground. I mean, very thin. And I just cut down a cardboard box. And sorry, Casey, I didn't ask you if I could do that. I'm sure it's allowed, but I don't want to mess up one of your prototypes. But obviously, I didn't. It's M390. It glided through this box. I have a whole bunch of boxes. I'm like, oh, I'm going to need that. I'm going to use that. And I've accumulated a very flammable pile over in my corner that I'm now cutting down. And I used this, and it zips through it like it's nothing. So it's not just a looker, people. It is a user. This is an awesome, awesome knife. And in this grip, when you're really pushing down like this, it's very comfortable because where the canopy meets the hood, you've got a nice little swale there that your thumb fits into. And then in general, this rounded spot on top, the top of the canopy, is really comfortable kind of anywhere you put your thumb. And then the windows, which are the opening holes, are milled out to a sharp edge and depth. I guess that edge could be a little sharper, but, you know, for ease of deployment, but already it works pretty well. So I'm really excited about this prototype. I'm very excited for Casey. And what a wonderful thing to see your design, your imagination, you know, writ large in titanium and steel. So congratulations, sir. Sir, I love, look forward to seeing where this goes next. And I was about to say, I love the way it looks from the lock side. Almost looks cooler. It looks, I mean, like with this, it looks like air intakes and the wheel looks like it's the back wheel of this vehicle. I don't know. I just think it even looks cooler from the lock side. Beautiful and simple and nice from this side. Totally badass from that side. All right. So thank you very much, Casey. I appreciate your entrusting me with that awesome prototype. Okay, next up. You remember Josh Mason, Bright for War. I interviewed him a couple weeks back. He's a guy who makes custom fixed blade knives, EDC knives and such, in the tradition of the Japanese knife. Or I could have said in the Japanese tradition. And one of the things he does especially well is Tsukamaki cord wrapping. And I have this Copus Designs Elvia that really needed to lose the twine I had put on the handle, but needed a little something to give it grip and girth because it's a thin and slippery handle. This is the Elvia. You know this. I've talked about it ad nauseum. It is a design collaboration with Ed Calderon. It is based on a fruit knife, kitchen fruit knife with that canted out curved blade, and is optimized for gross motor motion when you're pumping full of adrenaline and you need to get someone off of you or are fighting. So therefore, it needs a good grip. It's a dangerous knife. It's for a dangerous purpose. Needs a good grip. That didn't have one. It had a grip optimized for not printing when you drop it in your pocket. So thin and smooth. The smoothness so it doesn't grip on any of the material in your pocket, and the thinness so it's less likely to print. But that's not good enough for my purposes, and that's not how I carry the knife anyway. So I had Josh Mason of Bright for War do his Tsukamaki grip on the LGA. And it is stunning and gorgeous, if I do say so myself. I just showed it off on Thursday Night Knives. A lot of people oohed and aahed over it. Against that green background, the ray skin here looks blue. It is more of a purple, but in reality. But this beautiful black wrap crossed over creates these alternating peaks when you turn it and look at it from its dorsal aspect. And those peaks, those alternating peaks, become perfect for grip. And we're going to talk about that in a few minutes, actually, so I won't go too far into it here. But needless to say, he has taken this storied knife and really nicely made, but utilitarian in fit and finish, or utilitarian in finish knife, and really turned it into something special with that Tsukamaki wrap. So I just want to say thank you, Josh Mason. Check him out on Instagram. He goes by Bright for War on Instagram. Very, very cool. Next up is also a modification. This one is on my Monterey Bay Knives Peter Carey designed Turbo. And it's the knife modders, the knife modding power couple of the knife world called Knife Modders. I commissioned this from them. They do great work. That's Lindy and Richie. You know them as, well, Lindy and Richie. They go by Knife Modders. They have an awesome business. And so I sent them my plain Jane turbo. This was titanium and, you know, just plain silver titanium and silver shiny blade that I did. I did not like the satin on it. Sent it to them, did this beautiful acid stone wash on the blade, made it wickedly, wickedly sharp. But what I really was looking for was this color combination, this black blade, black stone wash blade with a green anodized. It's sort of a blue green. I'm not getting the right color in my camera here, but I'm going to describe it. It's sort of a blue green, bronze. It's that color when copper or bronze, I think, copper, when it patinas and it turns green, that's the color I wanted on this handle. They nailed it with their anodizing. Lindy just put out a couple of videos on how to anodize. You should probably check it out. Electrochemical, I believe it is, anodizing. They did a gorgeous job on that. And they said, what do you want us to do with the backspacer and the clip? And I said, chef's choice, to do your thing. And they came up with this cool, very, very nice looking stormy anodization. Just really nice, stormy looking, multicolored, anodizing. So they just did a beautiful job. Plus, they took it apart, obviously, to do all this, and it's nice and smooth and sharper than it ever was before. They put it on some sort of, fixed angle thing. So, very, very happy to have this knife and very excited to start carrying it. See what I did there? Peter Carey Design. I love Peter Carey. Sorry about that. Okay. putting that down. And then the last knife here that I got a couple of weeks ago and then failed to mention. I think I showed it on Thursday Night Knives, but, something I've always wanted. This is the Cold Steel Kobun, and I've always wanted it because it is in their classic Tanto line and design. But, you know, that classic American Tanto with the hollow grind and the flat wedge tip. But it's nice and light. It's nice and thin, and it's got that grippy Grivex handle, and it is has a palm swell and everything. And really nice knife. This is a knife I got from my sister when she had a creepy guy kind of stalking her. And she kept this by her bedside, not this one. And I noticed in time, things have changed. So I got this because it was on Smoky Mountain Knife Works flash sale for $30. I was like, okay, I've always wanted it. And I hate these $30 I have right here. So why don't I just exchange them? And, so got this. Really, very happy I did. A little bummed about the Securex sheath. And there are two reasons. First of all, it does not snap or fit very, I mean, it fits nicely, but it doesn't lock. I'm going to push it in here. Can't even hear it here. It doesn't have much of a click in. So it could probably come out, unexpectedly. And I can fix that probably, but I don't like heating and molding Kydex around a soft rubbery handle. So this, I'm not exactly sure about that. But the other thing is, you can see I put a little aftermarket clip on here, and this isn't the right one. I'm going to take this off and put something else on, but it ships with this. This is just the definition of lame. It is so lame. And this isn't a GSM thing either. They were doing this before GSM bought them. And I remember thinking, how's that going to work? Okay. So what it is a metal clip that can detach using Chicago screws, but it is not a clip like, say, a TOPS clip or a discrete carry clip or any other metal clip, except the kind that you have on your walkie-talkie that is built to easily slip off your belt. It does not have a backward-facing catch at the bottom of the clip. So you slip this thing over your belt, and it's on there. But you certainly can't clip it upside down, and you certainly cannot draw the knife without the clip disengaging and coming off like a walkie-talkie. And then it made me think, is that why the retention in the sheath is so, like, weak? Because they know that the retention in the belt is so weak, but they bought 50 million of them and they have to use them before they redesign the clip. I thought this was a real cheesy misstep. Plus, it's silvery, and man, what a miss. What a miss. But the knife itself is great. You know, it's OS 8. It's a It's supposed to be a fighting self-defense last ditch kind of knife. They actually label it on the clamshell package it comes in as EDC, which is hilarious to me. But Cold Steel Coben, mixed emotions, mostly about the sheath, but very happy with the knife. Highly recommend it if you're someone who doesn't like fixed blades, doesn't have a collection of fixed blades, but wants one or two that's utilitarian and at the same time could be used in a bad situation. I would say that that's pretty excellent choice. You're not out much money and it's pretty damn capable. All right, so we're going to talk briefly about common grip texturing. Now, I was getting to this before with the cord wrapping, so we'll talk about cord wrapping first. But before I do, I want to differentiate what I'm about to talk about from this. Cold Steel and Emerson, for instance, are known for their very aggressive peel-ply texturing in their G10, that surface texturing as being very aggressive, and it does give you a good grip for sure. It also destroys your pants, and it takes a while to wear down to a point where it's reasonable. This is not what I'm talking about. I am not talking about this kind of peel-ply surface treatment. We will be talking more specifically about milling and different ways to add to the grip outside of the ergonomics. Okay, so first up, we're going to talk about cord wrapping. Now, I briefly talked about it when I showed off this Elvia cord wrap by Bright for War here. So I'll bring out a couple of other examples. Here is a CRKT Obaki. And actually, this Obaki was the first thing that really showed me how excellent these kind of grips can be. And then here is the cord wrapped custom Anomaly by Bastinelli Creations. Now, they all have, to be Tsukamaki wrap, I think that there are a lot of different things that have to be present. I think technically this cord wrap is not a Tsukamaki. It does not have the ray skin underneath. But basically, it's a flat cord that's pulled around the tang of the blade and then twisted with the other side and wrapped around in a continuous motion. And it creates a peak on both sides on the flat of the handle and remains flat as it goes around the edges of the handle. So it results in this pattern of alternating raised areas here that really, really grip into your hand. It looks like a mountain range on one side and then an alternating mountain range on the other. And you get a very, very firm grip. Now, I realized with this Obaki that most modern cord grips are epoxied. They are covered with a coating that really hardens it. So this does not feel like shoelaces. It's not soft and pliable. I cannot move them around on the handle or push down these peaks or move them around. They are firmly there. This feels like milling. It feels like they had a big piece of G10 and they milled out giant grooves in it. So I'm a huge fan of this kind of wrap because it is very grippy. It allows for something not to have a finger guard, but still allow you to be confident with your grip because those peaks and valleys, I mentioned the peaks a lot, but those valleys are where your fingers and the fat of your fingers and palm really sink in. So you can have a non-finger guard knife, but have a firm grip on this kind of cord wrapping that's hardened with epoxy and get a superior grip. I love that grip. Okay, so moving on. And you pretty much only see this on fixed blades, naturally, just due to its makeup. However, on a recent TJ Schwartz design from 2021, I believe, with CRKT, he attempts this. Well, he does this by making a handle that can be cord wrapped, but it's a folder handle. So interesting design by an interesting designer and maker. Okay, next up, I want to talk about FRN. FRN is not a luxurious. FRN stands for fiberglass reinforced nylon. It goes by a number of different, proprietary names and such. But what it is really high tensile plastic, basically injection molded into forms. And you can get some really outstanding textures and landscapes, basically, with this kind of injection molding. So what I'm talking about here is, for instance, very, very well illustrated in the bidirectional, the bidirectional texturing of the Spyderco Endura. If you have ever held an Endura, you will know that, or any of these FRN Spydercos, that if you push forward, it grips. If you pull back, it grips. You have a whole network, a whole army of radiating little pockets here, and raised up trapezoids. Oh my gosh, this is exhausting. That really, really grip the hand. And it's all done by injection molding this awesome plastic into these different patterns. Now here you have one that is very popular, and this is the cold steel grivery, I believe, grivery they call it. It's FRN, and it's filled with little iron crosses that really grip the hand, really grip the hand. They're raised up in a lowered field of FRN, and your hand just simply sinks in to all of the nooks and crannies, and it gives a great grip. And then, of course, you look at this knife, and it's got crazy ergonomics, too. All the choils and swoops and such give you a lot of different places to grip. But for your fingers wrapping around and for your palms, this gives an excellent, excellent purchase. And the fact that there are valleys, like many, many peaks and valleys all around these iron crosses, mean that things such as water, or if you're using it to skin an animal, blood, whatever, have channels of escape, so you can still maintain your grip. Here's the last example of FRN I want to show you, and we will see this. This is what do they call it? Foreshadowing. Okay, so here is the Demco 8020.5, great knife with the shark lock. And if you can see, it's got a, I gotta stop saying if you can see. You can either see or you can't. What it has is a texturing that is very similar to the kind of floor texturing you would see in a big piece of heavy equipment, or on the ground right in front of the subway track, or it's a diamond shaped, raised diamond shape pattern here. And it's got a great grip. And how it's made is injection molded. But the next category is milling. And we're going to be talking about milling G10 in micarta. And the first example I'll show you is also the Demco knives. This is the AD20. And this one is in G10. And it's got the very same texture, but it's done differently. It's milled into that G10. This tight network of oblong pyramids, creating a field of grippiness. Here it's injection molded, seemingly hot plastic shot into a mold. And this is a flat piece of G10 that's milled out with a machine and removed. So we have a injection and a reductive process for both of these, and it's the same pattern. I think it's fascinating and cool, but you might be saying, okay, Bob, yeah, we get it. Big deal. But it is a big deal, man. It is a big deal. G10 and micarta can be milled in a variety of great ways. Here is one that I really like. These are radiating. This is a radiating pattern of sunburst, basically. And it is on the RSK Mark I, the Mini, Ritter Hoag RSK Mark I. If you look from the pivot outward, and having this multi-layered G10 really helps illustrate it, but you can see how the lines radiate out from the pivot and look like a sunburst. And it's not only beautiful, especially in this particular G10, but where the lines cross over that radiate this way and that are concentric circles coming north to south, it is incredibly grippy. It is very, very grippy, but it also leaves channels, like I said, for sweat and water and whatever to get out of there so you can still maintain your grip. So I really like what they did here. This is a grip pattern, a milling pattern that is seen on a number of Doug Ritter's new knives. Couple of others here. One of my absolute favorite milling patterns in micarta or G10 is here on the XM18. by Rick Hinderer Knives. It's got these oblong connected hexagons that are kind of stretched north to south and have peaks and valleys that that really you can really sink the fat of your fingers into, but it's not in any way, it's like a massage. It's not in any way painful or aggressive. It just feels good and you want your hand to stay in place. This one here is milled out of canvas micarta, and canvas micarta already has larger voids because the fabric, the threads are larger and are further spaced because it's canvas. And in those voids are infinite opportunities for gription. So you're milling into a surface that's already somewhat grippy, a grippy surface. So I love it. Alan Putnam did a great thing here with these Alan Putnam scales and rescued my bug out here. And he used this very popular Anzo pattern that's created by a Danish knife maker, Jens Anzo. And really what it is hitting it with a rotary sort of sander at an angle from the top and then at an angle from the bottom. And you meet in the middle with these alternating zigzags. And man, does that pattern just grip amazingly. And sometimes it's too much. I have Anzo pattern on my Backcountry Blackout, a knife, a fixed blade knife by Off Grid Knives. And it's almost too much on the edge. If you don't knock off the edge, it can become, and chamfer the edge of an Anzo pattern, it can become like a saw, you know, like a serration there, where the sort of scooped out edges, portions meet the edge. So you got to be careful with that. But the Anzo pattern is awesome. Here on the AD15, also a Demco design, in this case produced by Cold Steel, you can see, again, it's that same pattern you're seeing on the AD20, just blown up. It's those triangles that have that real industrial look, like the standing platform on the side of a bulldozer or something. You know what I mean? Really, really grippy. This one, actually, I had to sand down under the clip to get it to be usable. Okay, so now for this category, pattern mill G10 in micarta, the last one I'm going to show, and is to me the big daddy of them all, is the Zero Tolerance 0200, a classic hard use tactical knife. This man, okay, so it's got these raised ziggurats. I don't know what these shapes are exactly. They're elongated pyramids. So they have an edge across the top instead of a point. They're oriented north to south, but they are also, this is a Ken Onion design from his earlier days, so definitely lots of organic curves, and these raised elongated pyramids follow the curves in and create channels for your hands to fill. And when you look at it from this direction, it's got a Coke bottle contour. And then when you look at it from this direction, it's contoured north to south too. So just, they took Zero Tolerance, took the milled pattern for grip just to another level with this, because they did all of the contouring in these other dimensions, or I guess in this third dimension. So, fourth dimension, I don't know, in other places. And I really, really appreciate it. I do wish that would happen a little more, actually, and maybe from ZT. Maybe that's why I need to get the 308. But that is the milled G10 and micarta, and a lot of it includes some classic patterns. Okay, I have a lot of knives here. So next up, I want to talk about milled aluminum, and I'll just show these two examples. I have a ProTec here. And I have this is the ProTec TR3, Tactical Response 3, and this is the UltraTec by Microtec. Okay, so milling in aluminum gives you the best, I think, the best grip. What do you mean by that, Bob? All I mean is that anecdotally, all of my Microtecs and all of my ProTecs, which are all made and all milled out of aluminum, have really, really excellent definition and crispness in the milling, and I'm talking especially about these textures. The very large jimping here on the TR3 on the top and bottom are there so that you can thrust forward with confidence, because this does not have any sort of finger guard. It has a palm swell or a finger swell down here, and it has more milling, and it has knurling on the side. But really, this jimping on the top and bottom are really going to hold your hand in place. And that's what it's for. This is called tactical response. You're supposed to be punching this through, you know, car doors and stuff like that. So you don't want your hand to slide up there. So that milling, you know, it's only five jimps on both sides, but without being in any way uncomfortable, it is just sure. I mean, it is absolute. Your fingers, your the fat of your thumb and your fingers just sink in there and stay. And I found the same with the milling on all of my Microtechs. And like I said, I only have three, but they're all aluminum. And the jimping on them are just, they're insane. And again, here, it's high stakes. Look, this is a thrusting knife. It's a dagger. But what if you hit something hard, you know, by accident? You need not only this button on top, but you need this jimping and this jimping and this jimping to keep this relatively neutral hand, this extremely neutral handle in your hand, especially in thrusting. And that's its métier. So I think aluminum is a good choice for these kind of automatic knives for a number of reasons. It's, you know, it's lightweight and it's inexpensive, relatively speaking. But I find that it's superior for at least what the knives I have, it is superior for a grippy, grippy texture milled in there. And there we have, and you're all, you might be furrowing your brow. I don't know about that, Bob. But I'm just speaking anecdotally here. The knurling on the side of this TR3 is insane. See, you can, my voice cracked. You can tell I'm telling the truth. But also look here, if you have it in this pinch grip, you're good to go and you're not going to slide up there. So, I do like the milling in aluminum and, look forward to getting more aluminum knives. But last up is the milling in titanium. And we have a couple of really cool examples here. I'm going to start with an obvious one, and that is Tactile Knife Company. This is the Rockwall. Great little EDC 3-inch blade. Mine is in XHP. I think it comes in 20 CV these days. But milled into that relatively neutral handle is a very fine texture. Very fine indeed. And, it curves around the chamfering to the very top, and it is a whole bunch of micro beveling, or not beveling, a whole bunch of micro milling lines. And all together, it's like they engage with your fingerprints. They're small, they're on a micro level, and I swear, that's what I feel. When I hold this knife, I feel like even if it didn't have this flipper tab, which some of them don't, like the thumb stud version, it would still feel sure in hand if I needed to open a clamshell, you know, like a stubborn clamshell case. I would feel very confident with this in hand. You also have concentric milling in circles on the pivot, which I know is decorative, but also adds to grip if you're pinch gripping this. So this sort of micro milling in titanium is very effective, just like that sort of macro milling in aluminum is very effective. Another example of that can be seen on this Crystal Aurora. Excuse me, I had a little mind lock there. This Crystal Aurora is covered with, well, aesthetically pleasing areas of milling. You see this strip here running along the side. It's about one third of the width from top to bottom of the handle running down the center with north to south lines milled in. It's like a long run of jimping all up along the side of this blade. But like the Tactile Rockwall, it's micro. It's very small, and it engages with your fingerprints. It's not engaging necessarily with chunks of fat on your finger. You know what I'm saying? It's reaching you at a deeper level. And then they have that same traction plan right here on the clip, which makes it great for extracting and also looks great. You know, that's the thing about this. All of this milling adds to the grip and adds to the aesthetics. Again, here, if you need to go in a pinch grip, there happens to be some concentric arcs milled perpendicular to the edge right here. So if you have to pinch grip, you get some gription going this way too. So just a really awesome, two really awesome examples of that kind of micro milling in titanium. And I think that's where titanium seems to accelerate. And if you want to talk real micro, we can look at this, the orange peel finish on the Mach 51. It's not even milling. It's a chemical process, I think. Sound like Rob Dyrdek, I think. And but it's not only pleasing to look at and pleasing to touch, but it adds to the grip. It adds to the texture. Here we have a great example of something very simple. This is the Umnumzon by Chris Reeve Knives. And it's got a simple crosshatch milled in there. And that crosshatch is very tactily pleasing. It also helps you index where you are because it's not on the entirety of the blade, of the knife handle. This has become one of my favorite knives. This I got in 2021, the latter half of 2021. It's a great carry. And part of that has to do with, I just like this flourish. It's kind of random, but it's on all the Umnumzons, and it's a part of what it is. But I don't know. I like the way it feels, but I also like the fact that it's macro and it's in this titanium, venue here, but it's not quite as sharp as the aluminum. So it feels good in hand. If this were aluminum and you had all of this on the side, I feel like it would start to bug a little bit. A couple other examples here. The wonderful and beautiful Riat K2 has this dragon scale texturing on top, which originally I didn't want. I wanted the one that looked evocative of the Sukamaki wrap, but those were all out. And then it's got this faux hammered finish bolster. Well, these really add to the grip. They are beautiful to look at, indeed. But the scales here, the dragon scales here, are like the ribbing in a gun, on the slide of a gun, and so stop your hand from moving forward. And then here you have this texturing, which looks nice. It's also good for indexing, but again, in that pinch grip, it offers you some texture, some indexing, and some texture. With all those little dimples in there for your hand to sink into. Last up in the milling, in the milling titanium and just keeping it firmly in hand is terracing. And you see this a lot in titanium. And here's an example I have that I really like. It's very pleasing to the eye, but man, is it pleasing to the hand too. This is the Inversion, a Pikal style knife by Kaiser. Pikal meaning you're supposed to grip it. It's meant to be gripped with the tip down and the edge in, and it's for fighting, for cussing and fighting. And a small knife like this for a grisly and messy purpose such as this should have a good grip. No? No? So why did they not make this in micarta? Because it's a fancy pants version. You know, it came in their $250 line. I can't remember the artisan line or something. I can't remember what they call it. But it was a great opportunity to flex their milling muscle. And this terracing here really, really adds wonderfully to the grip. I mean, I would be hesitant to use this knife, if it had a smooth grip because it's not a very large grip. And what you have, you really want to hold on to. You definitely don't want anything happening where you come down this way onto that blade. So I like terracing. You see it, in micro versions on thumb studs all the time. But sometimes you see it on handles, and I think you see it a lot in Brian Tai designs too. I think it adds a thickness to the blade, a width to the handle that's necessary, while reducing weight and material and overall feel of the whip. So terracing and titanium. So lots of different ways to create grip on the surfaces of knives. I think that, for fixed blade knives right now, if we're speaking small, carryable fixed blades, I'm a Sukamaki fan all day long. But, you know, that changes. You've seen me change over time. So expect more. Okay, so that's it for this edition of the Knife Junkie Podcast. Thanks for sitting in on this therapy session with me. If you like more of this kind of content, you can check it out on our website, thenifejunkie.com. You can check it out here on YouTube. Check us out on Instagram. Coming up, we have Treddy. You know Treddy? He's a knife YouTuber from Switzerland. Awesome guy. what a refined collection and eye. I mean, this guy, he was very interesting to talk to. He's on our next show, episode 288. And then, of course, tune in on Thursday night for Thursday Night Knives because it is oh so fun. Oh, and then also, we got all these podcast apps here. You can download us and listen to us on the way to work. Also, sometime please ask me about my knife collection. T-shirt I got from my wife for Christmas. Ask me about my knife collection. So I'm going to wear this to the pool pretty much every weekend this summer and see what happens. All right, everybody. So for Jim working his magic behind the switcher and putting up cool scanning codes like this, I thank him and I hope you thank him too. I say till next time, don't take dull for an answer.
Thanks for listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review at reviewthepodcast.com. For show notes for today's episode, additional resources, and to listen to past episodes, visit our website, theknifejunkie.com. You can also watch our latest videos on YouTube at theknifejunkie.com/YouTube. Check out some great knife photos on theknifejunkie.com/Instagram, and join our Facebook group at theknifejunkie.com/Facebook. And if you have a question or comment, email them to bob@theknifejunkie.com or call our 24/7 listener line at 724-466-4487, and you may hear your comment or question answered on an upcoming episode of the Knife Junkie Podcast.